This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
My name is Al Whitney. Welcome to In Defense of Humanity on the second day of December 2017. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species while accepting and understanding that the current corporate commercial legal structure, both government and business is built upon, is actively seeking to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. Much of the information discussed on this show can be found on my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. After the program, I'll post links on the IDH program links page to some of the materials we talk about tonight. If you need to remind yourself why humanity is worth defending, please read and enjoy the In Defense of Humanity page listed at the top of my website. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free People's Empowerment Guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website called Lawfully Yours. It is a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab. Our guide has been viewed more than 60,000 times since it was posted, and it's now in its 9th edition. We keep adding to it as more info and ideas come to our attention. This guide contains valuable strategies for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government. Well, tonight I'd like to talk about, really continue a conversation that was started on John Stapmiller's show last Thursday about how hospitals are in the flu shot business and why hospitals are in the flu shot business and what that's doing to the entire healthcare industry within the hospital environment. It is this whole flu shot agenda has altered the way patients, doctors, and nurses and other medical staff relate to each other, and I'll explain tonight why. But first, I'd like to play some clips of a testimony that was given on March 18th, 2017, by a Dr. Alvin H. Moss. This was a testimony given to the West Virginia Senate Education Committee, and they were talking about the mandatory flu shots in West Virginia. There was a bill apparently on the table that they wanted to get passed, which would change what West Virginia has done regarding vaccine exemptions. I think there's only two states that don't have exemptions for vaccines other than medical, and I believe that's Mississippi and West Virginia. West Virginia got rid of the religious exemption and the personal belief exemption. So for children to go to school in West Virginia, the only way out of vaccine requirements and still get into school, unless you know about a vaccination notice, currently, however, the only way out of it is to get a doctor to say there's a medical reason your child can't take vaccines. So there was a bill put together that would change that and restore the vaccine exemption. And Dr. Alvin H. Moss and Dr. Suzanne Humphreys attended that committee meeting and addressed those senators, those state senators. It's an interesting talk that he gave. I think he did it quite well. He's been at WVU for like 30 years. He's had a lot of experience, but he has done his own investigation into vaccines, how this whole system has been set up and altered since 1986, and he tried to share his information with the legislators. So I'd like to play three clips from that talk tonight and kind of review what is I think he was trying to say and how important what he was saying is. So could we play the first clip of Dr. Alvin Moss's testimony?
I'm Dr. Alvin Moss. I'm a physician, licensed physician in West Virginia. I practiced in Morgantown. I am faculty at WVU School of Medicine. I've been faculty at WVU School of Medicine for 33 years, but I wish to make it clear that I am not here as a representative of WVU School of Medicine.
Thank you, Benny. I appreciate that. If you'll raise your right hand for me, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you shall give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you, Benny. Proceed.
Thank you very much. So first of all, I appreciate the opportunity to testify. I have been working with the legislature for 28 years. I'm here not in my capacity as the director of the West Virginia Center
for End of Life Care that's funded through the Department of Health and Human Resources. Let me get, if it's all right, let me get to some of the questions that were asked. And if it's all right, I'd like to start with Senator Romano. And Senator Romano, I was really grateful for the number of questions that you asked on Tuesday. And one of the questions that you asked is, what is the accuracy of the report that some fund has paid out over $3 billion related to vaccines? And if I could, I'd like to answer that question for you. In 1986, the Congress, U.S. Congress, established the National Vaccine Childhood Injury Act because the vaccine manufacturers had come to them and said that we have so many lawsuits that we are going to go out of business because we cannot afford to pay for all the vaccine-related injuries for which we are being sued. So they passed the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, and in it they created the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, and they also created the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. So this gets to the answer to your question, Senator. So they the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program has, and I checked it, as of March 1st, they issued a new report. They've paid out $3.6 billion for vaccine-related injuries since 1986. 2016 was the year in which they reported out the most injuries and the most vaccine compensations. So in 2016 alone, the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program paid out $250 million to over 800 individuals. And if you do your math quickly, that means the average compensation was over $300,000 per person. So I just wanted to sort of, so that's where the number comes from. And it's an interesting thing because I believe, sir, that you're an attorney. And what's interesting about the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is that for anything else in this world, you would be liable for your actions, but the vaccine manufacturers are not liable for the vaccines that they produce. And therefore, they don't have quite the incentive to make sure they're safe as if, let's say, we were manufacturing automobiles or seat belts for automobiles. So that, if that's all right, and I don't know how this works, Senator Mann, but I'd be happy if Senator Romano, I have other questions that I was planning to answer, but if Senator Romano wants to ask me about that, I'd be happy to answer any of his questions. Otherwise, I'll keep on going.
Chair recognizes. Okay, yeah, if you all want to continue, that'll be fine.
Okay, all right. If I could, I'm sorry Senator Stallings is not here. He asked, are you aware of anything that vaccines might cause? And one of the discussions on Tuesday was about the flu vaccine. So if I could just talk to you for a minute about the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine happens to be the vaccine that causes the most injury in this country. Senator Romano, the vaccine injury compensation program, 40% of all vaccinations in this country are flu shots, but 60% of all the compensations are for the flu vaccine. So a disproportionate number of the vaccinations are of the vaccine-related injuries are the flu shot. And just to talk about the flu shot, I think many of you may have been, it's been recommended to you that you get the flu shot, but I don't know if you're aware of the fact the CDC statistics are that every year they look at vaccine effectiveness. For this particular year, the vaccine effectiveness is 48%. So that means it's not highly effective. You heard testimony on Tuesday that we need about 95% vaccine effectiveness to reach herd immunity. So the flu vaccine falls far short of herd immunity, and it's not even all that effective. If you look at the scientific literature on the Cochrane database, they say the evidence to support giving the flu vaccine is moderate to weak. It is not strong evidence. They say the evidence to support giving the flu vaccine to people over the age of 65 is not there. It's inconclusive. So a lot of the things that we've been told as Americans with regard to vaccination are not really based on the science. And I just wanted to cover that. Senator Romano, you asked, are there any financial reasons for hospitals to push vaccines? And I'm guessing that your sister-in-law is Judy. Is that right?
Well, before you answer the name, yes, I do have a sister-in-law.
Okay. Okay, all right. Well, I'm just guessing because I've been faculty at WVU School of Medicine for going on 34 years, and years ago I had a medical student, then a resident, named Judy Romano. So it could be a coincidence that her last name is the same as yours. But okay, all right. So at any rate, I wanted to answer your question because I didn't want to leave the impression that there is no incentive. In fact, no de facto mandate for hospitals with regard to vaccinations of their patients or their employees. And as it turns out, the CDC developed a quality measure under the Quality Reporting Program, and they based it on the National Quality Forum Measure 0431, which requires hospitals to report their staff's flu shot rates. And it also looks at the flu shot rate for people who are admitted, whether they were admitted, whether they had flu shots or whether they had vaccinations prior to admission or whether they received vaccinations on admission. And I can tell you as somebody who makes rounds in the hospital almost every day that there's really a push to make sure that people in the hospital are vaccinated if they are behind, quote, the word behind, on their vaccinations. So the bottom line is that there's a reportable quality measure that the hospitals need to meet to be able to get the reimbursement. And the Medicare reimbursement rate per year for hospitals who meet this quality measure, among other quality measures in the bundle, is 3.75%. And I don't know about you, but probably many of you know that the profit margin for West Virginia hospitals in many years has been certainly less than 3%. It's only, and I'm not here speaking on behalf of the West Virginia Hospital Association now, but I'm telling you, the profit margin over the years for many West Virginia hospitals has only been 1% to 2%. And so if you're looking at something that would reduce their reimbursement by 3.75%, that is not a cut that they could sustain. So they have a strong incentive to vaccinate their employees and to vaccinate their patients. Now, As it relates to this bill provides a religious exemption for employees who are working at a hospital. I work, as I've told you, and I'm not here to represent them, at WVU Hospital, and I am very thankful that WVU Hospital grants a religious exemption. I am told that Monongalia General Hospital, sort of across the street from us, does not. This bill would allow adults, employees, West Virginians, to get an exemption, a medical exemption or a religious exemption, so that they would not have to have a vaccine that they did not want. And I think all of you as adults would want to have the choice to exercise the right to whether or not you get a vaccine or not. And this bill would at least allow that type of choice, whether it's because of a medical exemption, because you've had a previous reaction that is somewhat worrisome, or because for religious reasons you would prefer not to get the flu shot. Senator Carnes, you asked, should the flu vaccine be required? And so I want to just sort of touch on that. If you have a vaccine that has an efficacy rate of less than 50%, if you have a vaccine that's responsible for the highest number of vaccine-related injuries of all the vaccines in the country, do you think it's really fair, you know, and I'm asking that in a rhetorical way. I apologize. I'm a professor, okay? I'm asking it in a rhetorical way. Do you think it's fair that you be required to take a vaccine that has less than a 50-50 chance it's going to work and that can cause significant injury? So that's sort of the thought behind my answering the question, no, the flu vaccine should not be required. On Tuesday, Dr. Costello said, and I really appreciate what she said, really, even one death is too many. And she said that there have been two measles deaths. Actually, she talked about the measles death, I think, in 2015. There actually was another measles death in this country reported by the CDC in 2003. So there were two deaths, measles deaths, between 2003 and the present. What didn't come out in the testimony is during that same period of time, again, this is from the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, there have been 127 measles vaccine-related deaths. So if we're worried about one death or two deaths from measles, what about 127 deaths from the vaccine as a complication? And I didn't mention, but obviously, you know, the flu vaccine has also been reported to cause deaths as well. So what about allowing people to exercise their religious exemption or a medical exemption so that they can avoid being forced to receive vaccines that could potentially be devastating or fatal? So let me get back to the principle of informed consent that I think you as an attorney and me as a physician, and I teach medical ethics, and so I may be a little bit more sensitive or concerned about informed consent than, let's say, you know, somebody who doesn't teach informed consent. So the problem is, and you saw this on Tuesday.
We kind of ran one into the other one, I think. So we cut that last one off. We'll talk a little bit about what he's had to say already. Then we'll go back into clip number three, where he talks about informed consent. I think most people, at least I was unaware of this reimbursement system that had been put together. I do recall during the swine flu H1N1 in 2009, the New York legislature was asked to mandate that hospital employees accept flu shots, that they had to. It was mandatory. And I recall Gary Noll managed to get into the legislature and speak to them, and they would not pass that. So in 2009, they did not pass statutes requiring these employees to take the swine flu shot. But as our institutions generally do, if they fail in one direction, then they back up and they go in another direction. They rarely seem to give up. They just find another way to get there. So it would appear the way they found to get there is by this Medicare reimbursement. They do this with doctors as well. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. We've been listening to a Dr. Alvin Moss, MD, giving testimony to the West Virginia Senate Education Committee regarding a bill that was being presented in hopes of reversing this mandatory vaccination requirement, both for employees in hospitals as well as children in schools. They had eliminated any vaccine exemption but medical one, and someone had drafted a bill trying to restore the religious exemption, as he explained. I thought it was really interesting because, of course, Medicare, the amount of money Medicare pays to hospitals each year is huge. So if they attach some kind of penalty or reward, it doesn't matter which way they go, based on the Medicare reimbursement funds, they would most definitely get the hospital's attention. I have been told by a physician that physicians, if they maintain a greater than 80% fully vaccinated rate with their patients, that they get this higher reimbursement. If they fall below that, they lose it. So behind the scenes, as we talk about this topic, and of course, neither the hospitals nor the physicians share this information with us, but behind the scenes, we've got all of this incentivized, which is so typical of how our system works. They do this all the time. The incentive is the carrot, and if you don't accept it, the stick is the penalty. And this is called Howard Power, the carrot and stick. And they've been doing this for quite a while, and we're not aware of it because they don't tell us. The nurse isn't going to tell you in the doctor's office. The doctor isn't going to tell you, if you don't take this vaccine, I'll lose money. He's not going to say that. So we're just down here on the ground kind of confused and why they're giving us such a hard time when all we're trying to do is say no to a vaccine. Well, that's why they're giving us a hard time. If a lot of us did that, they would take a financial hit. I'm sorry to say that is just the way it's been put together. And this man did a wonderful job. What's so interesting is this incentive is coming from Medicare, and he's right about the Cochrane report. People over 65, there's absolutely no proof that the flu shot has any effectiveness whatsoever. So then you scratch your head and you say, if the flu shot, and the whole thing's about flu shot, and the money's coming through Medicare, if the flu shot is ineffective in Medicare patients, why would they be incentivizing it? You have to wonder that, okay? Especially if it can cause harm, injury, or deaths. Now you start to scratch your head and say, is this a program? Is this a plan? And I absolutely am convinced that this is a plan to strip the seniors of their health and possibly end their lives sooner than their life would end otherwise. I also thought it was interesting that he was involved in a legislation that went through the House or the Senate in West Virginia regarding end-of-life care. Now, that sort of spooks me out because end-of-life care, some bureaucrats and doctors and insurance companies and all of those people apparently have been discussing behind closed doors how to manage the end-of-life of the population. And I personally resent that hugely. When it came to my parents, my grandparents, the end-of-life care had everything to do with just our physician and our family. And I think that was done compassionately. We all did our best. We took care of our family members. Now come to find out they want to build a whole bureaucracy around end-of-life care. And that is spooky. I believe that that program has been labeled, he just didn't use the term, palliative care. That's the term I've heard, and hospice. Those are the terms I've heard, and I would say stay away from them like crazy, because I'm sure that you have a bunch of social workers and doctors and everybody looking over your shoulder and how much medication, are they taking the medication, are they getting their flu shots? I mean, to me, it sounds like a way to hurry people off the planet. Stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
We've been talking tonight about why hospitals won't get out of the flu shot business. I doubt very much they will get out of the flu shot business. Again, once the incentives are put in place, the only way to stop it is to have the incentives removed. And the longer it goes on, the more it becomes a regular part of the hospital's budget. And all of a sudden, the hospitals will start saying, well, we need that money. We need that money. We can't give that money up. We'll go bankrupt. We'll go broke. And this is, again, how the money monsters manipulate society. This is so common how they function. Since they have an unlimited amount of money because they create it out of nothing, or they make it up as they go along, they can throw money at any agenda they want, and they do. But this is particularly a problem, in my opinion. All of these hospital employees, whether they have direct patient contact or not, to my knowledge, are being required to get a flu shot. Now, what did he say about the flu shot? This is should make everybody just absolutely furious. It's not even 50% effective, okay? And yet, it's got the highest rate of injury. Do you honestly think they don't know that? I honestly think they do. I think that they are very much aware of that, and that is just fine with them. A lot of people get injured is not a problem, especially when They're attacking the U.S. economy in a major way. The jobs are moved overseas, offshore, and I see no sign of these jobs coming back. So taking out the middle class is on their agenda, and this is part of it, making people sick. Sick people are not politically active. Sick people have very little energy to resist. And I think that's exactly what this whole vaccine, entire agenda is all about. So we're moving on now to informed consent. We talked about informed consent. The federal government, okay, on their website say that we are entitled to informed consent. And vaccines are the exception. But now Dr. Moss tries to explain to the committee exactly what informed consent means and why it is such a problem that there is no informing regarding the flu shots. Let's hear clip three from the beginning.
So let me get back to the principle of informed consent that I think you as an attorney and me as a physician, and I teach medical ethics, and so I may be a little bit more sensitive or concerned about informed consent than, let's say, you know, somebody who doesn't teach informed consent. So the problem is, and you saw this on Tuesday with the whole thing, if your physicians don't know what is in the vaccine and what the vaccine-related injuries are, because Senator Stallings specifically asked both Dr. Young and Dr. Costello to comment on vaccine-related injuries. Dr. Stallings, I'll quote him verbatim, are you aware of anything that vaccines might cause? And if you recall, that was a follow-up line of questioning after he asked about autism, and there were not answers given. So I, as a physician, am very aware of not only the benefits of vaccines, but the harms of vaccines. And since I believe informed consent is important, I know about mercury in vaccines, aluminum in vaccines, polysorbate 80 in vaccines, formaldehyde in vaccines, pig and kidney cells in vaccines. Okay? And so because I know that, that's part of the informed consent discussion. Now, ask me in my own practice. I'm a nephrologist. I take care of kidney transplant patients. Kidney transplant patients are immunosuppressed. You can ask me, what percentage of my patients receive the flu shot? I'd say about 50%. I don't talk people out of it. I explain the risks and the benefits, and I believe it's their right to choose whether they want to receive a vaccine or not. I don't want physicians, I don't think it's right that physicians should be forcing patients to receive a vaccine that potentially could have severe injuries when the person is healthy. I mean, what is so sad is somebody who's healthy, and I know an employee at Jefferson Medical Center up in Pennsylvania who got Guillain-Barré as a result of a flu shot that the hospital required her to get when she was perfectly healthy and then had a 9-month illness before she recovered. That was not her choice. Guess what? Jefferson Medical Center no longer requires flu shot.
Well, I agree with him, but I kind of disagree because he is saying you shouldn't be giving these shots to healthy people and you could make them sick. Well, folks, what about giving these shots to sick people, making them sicker? Now, this is what happened when my close relative was in the hospital last January in intensive care. And I was, the whole family was told that his condition was critical. Okay? He was on a drug at the time that was supposed to assist preventing irregular heartbeats, supposedly. But the drug never passed clinical trials, and the drug is noted, in fact, the FDA has warned about this drug, that it is toxic. It lung toxicities, liver toxicities, and after the drug went on the market, post-marketing reports came back saying it can cause renal failure. This is a toxic, toxic drug. And yet the nurse comes in and says to the family, would you like him to have a flu shot? Okay, sure, we'd like him to have, on top of this toxic drug that he's taking, why don't we add to that formaldehyde, mercury. Let's just add that and see what happens. I mean, if we had not been aware of the dangers of vaccines, and most people aren't, I shudder because had this been maybe 10 years ago when this had happened, my head probably would have concluded, oh my gosh, he is so sick, the last thing he needs is the flu. I better say yes. And into that patient would go these additional toxic ingredients in a man who's already compromised and honestly just barely alive. In my opinion, that probably would have thrown him off the cliff. And guess how they would have recorded that death? No doubt in my mind, they would have said he died of heart failure and kidney failure. They would never, ever have mentioned the vaccine. That's how dangerous these hospitals are. Good news, relatives home, relatives many, many months later doing super duper. But it was very scary once I recognized the dangerous drugs that they were giving. And when they came in with the vaccine, when he's in ICU, incidentally, he talks about informed consent. And I thought that was important. He is claiming, although I'm not privy to what he says to his patients, but he is claiming that he informs them and tells them of the risks and the benefits. Well, if he was telling them the truth, he would have to say the risks are great and the benefits are questionable, especially if they're 65 or over. But if he does tell them the truth, give them completely informed consent, good for him. That is not what was done, and that is generally not done across the board in these hospitals. They absolutely do not inform you of any of the risks. Your doctors don't inform you of the risks. No one tells you that there are risks. And I'm going to play a clip just to demonstrate how serious this problem is, of a woman, a nurse, who was a professor in nursing and got her second flu shot, after which she acquired Guillain-Barré. It developed because it didn't happen immediately. It developed. Barbara Lowe Fisher of the National Vaccination Information Center interviewed this family, this nurse who talks very little, her daughter who's caring for her, doing the primary care, pretty much all of the care. Her husband was at the interview, and I'm playing a clip, but I will put the whole thing, a link to the whole thing, which is titled Powerful Profile of a Flu Vaccine Victim. And this was uploaded onto the Mercola website. It's only a 9-minute clip, but it gives you an idea of how there was no informed consent. It's real important information. So let's listen to this. Okay. Oh, my God, technology, isn't it wonderful? It works some of the times, and it screws up other times. But this informed consent, that nurse did not give it, I guarantee you, and The same family member went to see an internist who promptly came in the room and said, I've ordered a flu shot for you. That was it. That was the statement. There was no discussion. There was no caution that this could be dangerous. Not a word. Fortunately, our relative said, no thanks. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? Where did it go? Okay. Okay, hold on. Okay, is it downloading? It's number 4. Can you see it on your Skype screen? Well, according to my computer, it's downloading. So we have a dilemma that we're going to talk about tonight about this, because I think they've intentionally created a conflict between doctors and patients and hospital staff and patients. You know how the monsters in charge love you know, divide and conquer. That's their favorite game. That is absolutely their favorite game. They've been doing it forever. But what I see happening is if they set policies that require medical professionals to accept vaccines that they don't want, okay, then the patients are allowed to say no. Imagine the resentment. Imagine the resentment that the medical staff will end up saying, I have to take it and you don't. If I have to take it, you have to take it. I can just see that attitude developing so that they will get the medical professionals who are not happy. Some of them are real unhappy about this, are going to resent any patient that says no. They're going to do their best to insist that if they have to take the shot, by God, you do too. Okay, have we got it? Okay, thank you. It's 9 minutes, so we'll probably have to cut it for a break.
I'm Dr. Alan Moss. I'm a physician, licensed physician in West Virginia. I practice in Morgantown.
Ken, wrong one. It's number four, powerful profile.
And I understand that your mom, who was a nurse, had a reaction to her flu shot in 2008.
She had a seasonal flu vaccine. She had had one flu shot before that, and she didn't normally get them. She was a pretty, very healthy person, actually, before that. She was a nursing professor at Southern Connecticut State University, and she, maybe about a month afterwards, started having stomach pain and thought it was just, you know, a virus, and progressively got sicker after that until about a month later ended up nearly paralyzed in excruciating pain, hallucinating it was terrifying. She was absolutely terrified. We were terrified. Nobody really knew what it was. Even the doctors didn't know what it was. They thought it was her heart at first, because her blood pressure was sky high. She stopped breathing. Every organ in her body failed. And her sight, she couldn't see. Her vision was blurry. She walked in, but by the next day she couldn't even stand or move.
She started the symptoms about a month after the shot. It started to decline. In other words, they got worse and worse and worse until she finally ended up in the hospital about 2 months later.
Correct.
And what was the ultimate diagnosis?
The ultimate diagnosis was Guillain-Barré, the most severe case that the doctors had ever seen. And then she ended up having a stroke as well.
So she went from basically a vibrant professor of nursing, teaching nursing, to somebody who now, what is her condition now?
She is permanently paralyzed. She will never be the same. She effectively has no life. She'll never work again. She can't sit up on her own. She needs 24-hour care. She can't feed herself. She can move her body, but she can't move anything functionally. She moves, but it's sort of like that. Mm-hmm. She can't, she's absolutely not the same person at all. Because of the stroke, she has short-term memory issues. She can't do anything for herself. She will never function really again the way she could before. I've effectively lost my mom. My kids have lost their grandmother. Any life she knew is over because of the flu shot.
And she had had a flu shot before, one other flu shot, and she hadn't had a reaction, and so she really didn't have any idea. She taught nursing. She had really no idea that this would happen to her.
No, and the thing about this was that there were so many symptoms that it really affected every organ in her body. So the doctors were very puzzled by this. They really didn't know what it was, and they kept testing for everything. And they tested so many different times for so many different disorders and so many different causes. And they sent out many different sets of blood tests too.
So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Everywhere, because they really, really, really didn't know what it was. And in doing that, they ruled out every other thing besides the flu shot. And when they finally asked us, did your mom have a flu shot, we were all so shocked because we never knew. We never had any idea that this could happen.
So you do have at least one doctor who says it was a flu shot?
Oh, we have all of her doctors who I told us that that's the only thing it could be. But it wasn't just the doctors from her initial hospital stay. Like, she was in the hospital for 18 months. And she went from a rehab to another rehab to another rehab, well, to a nursing home. So then I had to fight to get her into another rehab. But throughout the whole hospital stay, all of the doctors told us, they said, you know, there was no other thing it could be besides the flu vaccine, because they all read the records from other previous institutions. And, you know, there was no other consensus other than that it was the flu vaccine. The testing that they had to do in Fridgen was really painful, because they had to put long needles into all her nerves. And it showed that there was a lot of axonal damage. A lot of the time, Guillain-Barré damages the outer coverings of the nerves. And with hers, it damaged the outer coverings, but it also damaged the axons. So she not only had brain damage, but she had damage to all of the nerves in her whole entire body. And so it's not just the brain, it's her whole, all of the axons in her body.
So was she in constant pain?
Constant, excruciating pain. She, nothing would relieve it. She was screaming, crying. Nerve pain, from what I understand, from what the doctors told me, is some of the worst you can have. And it was horrible to watch. And then a lot of the medicines that I tried to give her for the nerve pain, she would have reactions to, and she would hallucinate. And they would have to give her things like anti-narcotics because she was having such bad reactions to the narcotics that they gave her. But nothing would get rid of the nerve pain, and it went on. It was months and months and months. The nerve pain doesn't go away. So she's still, actually, to this day, it's been 3 years now, and she still has nerve pain. It's not as bad as it was, but it went on for probably a good 2 years to that, you know, intense level. And what we've learned about Guillain-Barré is that it affects everybody differently. All of the doctors in every hospital she went to, and all of the rehab people, everybody knew. They all said, oh, yeah, we've seen this before. We've seen this from flu shots before. This is a known reaction. And we were, I mean, it's maddening, because they've all seen it before.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT.